Geography was no longer just a schoolboy study. North Africa, the Coral Sea, Leyte Gulf, Stalingrad, and then the moment the Allies had waited for occurred on June 6, 1944. The Allied commander, Dwight David Eisenhower, spoke to the world.
People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of the concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe, made in conjunction with our great Russian allies.
And FDR spoke from the United States.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment the troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be.
But at the same moment the leaders were speaking, history was being made by men in landing ships, and radio was on the spot. Listen to George Hicks as he rode in with the first assault waves to land on Fortress Europe.
Our own ship has just gave its warning whistle, and now the flak is coming up in the sky. Looks like we're going to have a night tonight. Get him there, Bonnie! Another one coming over. And a cruiser on one side is pouring it up. Something burning is falling down through the sky. And circling down. Maybe a hit plane. They got one.
And this same surge of power was being felt in the Pacific. On February 19, 1945, the United States Marines landed on Iwo Jima. An NBC newsman was with them in this bloody battle.
You can obviously hear this gunfire going on all around us. Now we are now inside the screen of warships. There's no more warships between us and the beach. We look out to the stern of us now, and there are hundreds of craft lying out there. But between us and the beach, nothing except a few amphibious craft that are on the beach disgorge their tanks. They're still beached in there. As the water's being churned up quite a bit in between us and the beach, now with the bursting of these shells. It looks like a tank burning in there on the shore. Looking through our glasses now, we're just a couple of hundred yards off the beach. We can see these anthrax pull up along the beach and dozens of Marines around each one of them. You can see those terraces now, stretched along on the seaside of those terraces. The cover they offer is a line of Marines taking protection from those covers. There must be a group of Marines that have just recently landed. You can see lots of fresh material over there on the beach. And you can no doubt hear the bursting of these ships, bursting all around it. Tokyo isn't going to get much use out of this island from here on in. Get a better look at that little fire we saw on the beach. It is indeed a jeep that has been hit and burning. We were going to hit the beach in just a couple of seconds, so we're going to be quiet and brace ourselves for the shot. And now we've hit the beach, just simultaneously with that shell burst that you heard, we hit the beach.
The smell of victory was in the air as the Allies swept back the enemy in Europe and in the Pacific. News bulletin after news bulletin spoke of another step toward peace. Listen to John Daly on April 12, 1945. The world and the nation were shocked.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin from CBS World News. A press association has just announced that President Roosevelt is dead. The president died of a cerebral hemorrhage. All we know so far is that the president died at Warm Springs in Georgia.
With the victory he had helped to engineer so close at hand, FDR did not live to enjoy the fruits of his labor. Arthur Godfrey, the old redhead himself, talked of FDR as radio again demonstrated its unique ability to transmit sorrow and loss on a very personal basis.
The drums are wrapped in black crepe and are muffled, as you can hear. And the pace of the musicians is so slow. And behind them, these are Navy boys. And now just coming past the treasury, I can see the horses drawing the caisson. And most generally, folks having as tough a time as I am trying to see it. And behind us, is the car bearing the men on whose shoulders now fall the terrific burdens and responsibilities that were handled so well by the men to whose body we're paying our last respects now. God bless him, President Truman. We return you now to the studio.
Thank you.
Almighty God has seen fit to take from us a great man who loved and was beloved by all humanity. No man could possibly fill the tremendous void left by the passing of that noble soul. No words can ease the aching hearts of untold millions of every race, creed, and color. The world knows it has lost a heroic champion of justice and freedom. Tragic fate has thrust upon us grave responsibility. We must carry on. Our departed leader never looked backward. He looked forward and moved forward. That is what he would want us to do. That is what America will do. With great humility, I call upon all Americans to help me keep our nation united in defense of those ideals which have been so eloquently proclaimed by Franklin Roosevelt.
Less than a month later, May the 7th, Winston Churchill spoke on VE Day.
The German war is at an end. We may allow ourselves a brief period of rejoicing. But let us not forget for a moment the toils and efforts that lie ahead. Japan, with all her treachery and greed, remains unsubdued. The injuries she has inflicted upon Great Britain, the United States, and other countries, and her detestable cruelties, call for justice and retribution.
The war in the Pacific continued, fierce, bloody, with mounting casualties. Strange new words like kamikaze became part of our vocabulary. Landings on the home islands of Japan were imminent, when this news broadcast changed the face of world history forever.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
It was just a matter of time.
7 p.m. Eastern Wartime, Bob Trout reporting. The Japanese have accepted our terms fully. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War. The United Nations are united and are victorious.
General Douglas MacArthur stood on the deck of the veteran man of war, the USS Missouri, to sign the official document of surrender with the rulers of Japan.
Representatives of the major warring powers, to conclude a solemn agreement whereby peace may be restored. The issues involving divergent ideals and ideologies have been determined on the battlefields of the world, and hence are not for our discussion or debate. Nor is it for us here to meet, representing as we do a majority of the peoples of the earth, in a spirit of distrust, malice, or hatred. As Supreme Commander of the Allied Powers, I announce it my firm purpose, in the tradition of the countries I represent, to proceed in the discharge of my responsibilities with justice and tolerance, while taking all necessary dispositions to ensure that the terms of surrender are fully, promptly, and faithfully complied with. Of the Emperor of Japan and the Japanese government and the Japanese Imperial General Headquarters to sign the instrument of surrender at the places indicated.
The end of the war marked the beginning of a new era for Americans. For those of us who experienced World War II, it became the dividing line. Things were dated simply before the war or after the war.